and welcome to Cloud Ninefin, the podcast where we discuss everything you want to know about debt capital markets. I'm Shivam Saharan.
I'm Sasha Padbhadri.
And we're your co-hosts for a special episode of the podcast. This week, we want to take a moment to recognize International Women's Day. We've got some special guests who are going to be joining us, but first, we want to set the scene a little bit.
So the scene is finance has a gender problem, and that's not a secret. It's not breaking news. You know, it's obviously a famously male-dominated industry. We've come a long way since some of the shenanigans and, you know, the Wolf of Wall Street, but we've got a really, really long way to go from here. You know, people talk about gender disparity in finance all the time, and for good reason, but we really wanted to break down some of the data because we've done quite a lot of work on this.
Yeah, so let's start off by talking about some of that data about gender in private credit markets, which obviously is a subset of the broader credit markets, but I'd argue that the data is fairly analogous. So as we talked about in the big piece on this last year, which for our listeners, we'll link in the liner notes for this episode, data from Preqin shows that just one in every four people working in private credit is a woman. That's roughly in line with where private equity, venture capital, real estate, infrastructure, and the natural resources industries are.
Right. So one in four, that's like halfway to gender equality if I'm trying to keep things positive. But I also remember reading this article that you did. And, you know, that's just a headline figure. It gets worse the more senior you go, right?
Yeah. And that number doesn't hold across all levels of seniority at all. If you look at the data, there's a bottleneck as employees move up the ranks. So let's go through that a little bit. Just one in six senior employees in private credit is a woman. That's way below that one in four figure for the industry as a whole that we mentioned. If you look at mid-level positions, it's about one in four as well, by the way. And it's way lower than the junior positions where women are about one in three.
Gotcha. So fewer women earning big bucks. And then there's some nuance in the data around roles too, right? Like certain functions within private credit are a lot more equal than others.
Mm-hmm. The numbers are much more disparate when you look into different disciplines. For example, there are far fewer women on investment teams than there are in IR or marketing. A lot of this is probably obvious if you work in private credit, but it's kind of drastic and dramatic seeing it laid out in actual statistics. Let's just consider this. Women represent more than half of junior investor relations and marketing teams in private credit. And then there's finance and accountancy, where just over 40% of employees are women. But when you look at investment and portfolio management teams, which are often considered the kind of front of house roles at credit firms, female representation is closer to one in three or one in four. And when you look at senior portfolio management roles, that number is more like one in 10.
Gotcha. Like what you said, this all seems kind of obvious when you're a woman in the industry, but those numbers are really kind of wild. You know, then again, numbers are just numbers and they sometimes represent actual human experiences. So we got in some actual women in the industry to weigh in. Here's Erica Morris, portfolio manager at TCAO. We asked her to share her experience coming up in the industry.
Yeah, I started on a trading floor at Lehman Brothers, and I think I could count the number of women on one hand practically. So that evolution in the market, you know, in our group alone, we have 10 people, three of them are women. I think that's structurally a shift around the whole industry. And I think there's a lot more support and recognition around connecting with women through industry events, through banking communities, across different sort of sectors of finance, which is really encouraging. Really feels like nothing but supportive in any direction that you look.
We also spoke to Nadia Marcos, a partner at Napier Park Global Capital, where she heads up institutional sales. And her answer to this question kind of blew us away.
I was taking actually my last year of MBA classes, and I wanted to take this example as a good illustration of how things have changed. So it was 1994, 1995, and we had a major Swiss bank coming, recruiting from the campus. And it was a class, as you can imagine, that was about a third, I would say, are women, and then two-thirds men. Pretty good balance at the time, for the time. And we asked, actually, to the big Swiss bank what they thought about hiring women. This was a great forum, and we were very proud, and it was a very active school. And with no hesitation, the head of human resource said, well, it would be a very bad investment for us to hire women. So today it would be really shocking to hear that. But I wanted to transition and just compare and contrast that event very early on with, you know, Napier Park looking actually to hire, for example, new professionals last year in for business development role. And the focus was really on making sure that we were working with the right recruiting company that could bring us diverse talent. And nobody at the firm would ever consider anything differently. So the compare and contrast of how things are evolved, I think those two events were really like the bookmark, I think, of where we are. It's not perfect. There's still a lot of progress to be made. But I think that there is generally a better tone about diversity, more acceptance, more awareness that is going to really help the women in finance. And I'm pretty excited about that. I think the new generation definitely could help accelerate the pace.
So we talked about career bottlenecks in our intro a bit, but data really doesn't tell the full story there. The truth is, there are several reasons why people who enter this industry don't rise to higher positions. We asked Erica if there was a point in her career where a lot of her female peers started leaving the industry. Here's what she had to say.
Move through industries, you know, with different reasons, sometimes personal, sometimes professional. But for the category of women, I've definitely the highest percentage of women that I've seen rolling out of finance would be in their 30s, which to me makes sense considering that's when like the highest pressure is on balancing career development with having a family. And I faced the same things personally when I had my daughters. I was able to stay in the field by finding a variety of different solutions that changed over time. So for me, it meant shifting from investment banking for the beginning of my career before children to moving to the asset management side after having children to have slightly more control over the hours that I was working per week. And another reason was for a period that meant reducing the number of days I was actually in the office. That's obviously something people have valued more since COVID for its flexibility. And like another change that for me was I moved after a decade of working in London to be back in the States and closer to family after I had children. So over the course of my career, I've been able to work continuously without leaving the workforce. But I think one of the things that I find really encouraging, though, is, you know, when it comes to reentering the workforce after a time away, which can be very natural for reasons for caring for family or pursuing a role at another organization, it can be really overwhelming and challenging. But I'm encouraged to see that many of the investment banks have a return to work program so that women, and I have several friends that have gone through this and men as well, who have worked in finance in the past, they can come back in through these programs, reconnect with former colleagues, re-engage under our current market conditions, and then just check out kind of available positions. So I think that's, a very healthy industry evolution.
We also asked Nadia how she successfully navigated that bottleneck. And she highlighted a really simple but pivotal conversation with her boss.
I definitely hit a speed bump for sure. I thought I could do it all. And I think at one point, it was very challenging. And it was a very important turning point for me because I really love what I'm doing. I really loved working for Napier Park. It was just a very exciting time for us too. And I had a very supportive group of at the senior level, but also just my peers. But I just couldn't see how everything would fit in. And that day I walked into my boss office and I said, I don't think I should continue. He said, well, what do you need? And that question, what do you need, totally took me by surprise. It made me pause for a minute. I was definitely not prepared, probably lack of sleep, but it did something really important. For me, the most important part was actually to have the flexibility to maybe not show up like the rest of the trading floor at 7:30 on the desk, but the flexibility to work until 9 o'clock at night when I cover the West Coast clients. The flexibility to maybe work from home, you know, that's many years ago. So I was very lucky to have somebody who was open. The flexibility to organize my life in a slightly different way, pushing the hours in a different way that actually would really create a buffer that I needed. And what's interesting, Shubham, is that I used that maybe a handful of times, And just knowing that you had the flexibility made a huge difference. How you thought about it, how you were more relieved. You knew you could leave in case of emergency. You knew you could take your kids to the doctor. You needed that flexibility to be able to address life and work. And that was really a very important moment for me.
Mentorship is one of the key paths to success for people of all genders. Of course, one of the things firms can do to increase gender diversity in their business is to bring in more females at the junior level. But just bringing in more women through the door isn't enough on its own. Like, many women we've spoken to about this issue have said that mentorship networks and women's groups are a really crucial part of how they built support systems and bolstered their career development. So we asked Erica who her first female mentor was, and we wish we could say her answer surprised us.
I laugh at this question just a little bit because honestly, I mean, I've been doing this for over 25 years and I've never really had a female mentor. It's always just been such a male dominated field. So all of my early mentors were men. Some of them, you know, recruited me to join them to work across multiple firms. So I've been very constructive relationships. So I can't really point to a specific woman I've admired along the women I've worked with, but I'm encouraged to see more women moving into senior positions as a percentage of the industry. And I think as that happens, as more women grow into senior roles, it's really kind of incumbent on us to mentor the underrepresented groups to lead to a healthier overall work environment. I think that's what we've tried to do in my group here at TKO as well. So I don't really have a single person, although I did look up to certain women that were slightly ahead in their careers above me, such as I was just starting to think about Joan Solitar, who's at Blackstone. She spent her first 20 years in banking. I spent my first decade in banking. And she had been covering, as a research analyst, covering financial services. And so in 2007, when Blackstone was about $26 billion in AUM, they hired Joan strategically to come in, understanding the industry, to expand their client base and geographic reach. And she was a big part of why Blackstone's now $1 trillion. And so looking at her, yeah, I've listened to probably all of her podcasts, every video that she's made. She's just remarkable. So I look for like a mentor in that kind of way, although it's not direct contact. It's someone who's smart and articulate and very disciplined and had a lot of enviable success, I would say, working in the field.
And here's what Nadia had to say about mentorship. As with her first answer, her story around mentoring kind of shows how far things have come during the course of her career, but also had some elements that really still ring true today.
You know, when I started, there were so few women that I'm afraid my answer will be a little bit equivocal. I had the best first female mentor for me was actually a male mentor. He was my first, official manager. And I think, you know, Walter Glanzman was somebody who was very direct. It was not a mentor or mentoring type of relationship, but it was the directness of his dialogue with me, highlighting what could be done, but also highlighting very early. I think my first week on the job, he sat me down. He's like, I can see you going to be in this job for a long time, but let me tell you one thing. Maybe this is not appropriate today anymore, but he just wanted to show me really that the road was not going to be just a walk in the park. And he said, you know, in order to achieve what some of your male colleagues will achieve, you will need to work twice as hard. You will need to be twice as smart. And you might not always be paid the same way as your male colleague. And he didn't mean that it was really meant as just be prepared. And he became the biggest supporter, the biggest mentor that I had at the time. And I think those words of wisdom are still with me today.
Not everyone has found their mentor yet, but we thought perhaps we could provide a bit of mentorship through this podcast. So with that in mind, if Erica were starting her career today and she had the opportunity to give herself advice, here's what she would say.
I think that there are actually probably two things I would tell myself. One is, especially as a woman, and there are increasingly more women in the field, but it's regular that I'm still the only woman in a meeting sometimes. And I just think strong communication skills are so important. It helps you to navigate just diverse professional environments. It creates transparency, which builds trust, which is critical for colleagues and for clients. So I think strong communication skills is something that's key. And then beyond that, probably getting back to our original point, is just always keep learning and always stay curious, because as we mentioned earlier, you know, the fundamentals will stay the same, but wrappers will continue to change. So you have to stay adaptive. You have to keep learning. And as you stay updated with, you can, you know, with changing trends, it just kind of builds towards long-term success.
If you want to learn more about what leveraged finance and private credit firms can be doing to increase gender diversity in the industry, check out the article we referenced earlier. It's in the liner notes. And there's tons of other great content on 9fin.com. Thanks so much to our guests for joining us today for this discussion, and thanks to you for listening. Don't forget to check in with our European colleagues next week. We'll be back the week after that. Until then, happy International Women's Day, everyone.